series on Wednesday nights back in September. We're calling it Potential Pitfalls. And those are just things in our Christian walks, our Christian lives that kind of get in the way, trip us up, can hinder us, can get us off track. Those things that are common to all of us. So we're looking at different topics and learning what the dangers are and then how to avoid those. We started at the beginning by the pitfall of neglecting the source, and that source is Jesus. That source is our relationship with Him and our quiet time with Him, our devotional life with Him. We looked at living in uncertainty, just kind of not knowing what in the world we're doing, and getting back on track, or doubt and all of that. Then we looked at besetting sins, those sins that tend to keep coming back in our lives or can grab us easily or trip us up. Descending into discontentment, we looked at the things that can possibly cause us to get discontent and our eyes off the Lord, and then we snowball down. Misdirected priorities, and then in captivity to our emotions rather than our emotions being in captivity to Jesus Christ. So our overall theme verse, 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. So all these things that we've been talking about week after week, and as we will continue, they're common to all of us. It doesn't matter how long you've walked with the Lord, what your place is in the body of Christ, or what you think it is or isn't, or who's more spiritual, that it is common to all of us. We can all get tripped up and get steered off the path. But God gives us a way of escape, and that's what we've been talking about this year. Okay, this might happen. This is a potential pitfall, but He's going to give you the tools and the ability to walk around that and not fall right in. So our topic tonight goes very nicely with Sunday morning's message. If you were not here, or if you didn't, get a chance to thoroughly listen to it, go back and listen to it. It was very, very good, and really good way. Anything you teach at the beginning of the year is a great way to start the new year. So, but it was a very good way to start the new year. And Damian was talking about the body of Christ and about fellowship. We don't talk about what we're going to teach or whatever. And he got done. I said, well, that's great. You set me up real good here for what I'm teaching on Wednesday night. So our verse that we're going to look at tonight is in Hebrews chapter 10. So if you flip there, Hebrews 10:25, but I am also going to read verse 24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. I like the word assemble, and I heard it years and years ago when Damian taught, and that illustration has just stuck with me, and you've probably heard him give it, but that word assembly, it indicates relationship, okay? It's different than just gathering or getting together. Don't forsake getting together or gathering. That's not what he said. He said, don't forsake the assembling together. You can gather all the ingredients for a batch of cookies, the flour, the eggs, the salt, the sugar, the butter, all of those things, and the chocolate chips, of course. You can gather all those ingredients, but until they are assembled or incorporated into one another, they're not going to do much good by themselves, and they're not going to taste that great by themselves. They're not going to have the purpose and the effect that they would when you incorporate them, you assemble them, then they're really yummy and good and have purpose and meaning. God did not put anyone on this earth to live an isolated life. That's not how he created people. They not to do a solo thing, an isolated thing. As Christians, we are reborn into a family. Christians need a church family. And we are created for a spiritual family. And that new trendy word, which I really have always avoided trendy words, that word community. We are made for community or family. That human beings are made for that. But when we're reborn as Christians, we are reborn into a family of God, a spiritual family, and we need that. E. Stanley Jones says, church relations are the best of our planet. If you wipe out the church today, you will have to put something in its place tomorrow, for it is rooted in the necessities of human living. With all its faults, the church is still the best-serving institution on earth. We need the body of Christ. The church itself helps us center our lives on God. It refocuses, it redirects us. You know, we're kind of out there all week long doing what we do in our ministries, our jobs, our home and everything. And corporately, we assemble together, just like we're doing tonight. We assemble together to get our focus back where it's supposed to be and helping, connecting with one another. So the church helps us to connect with other believers. Our brothers and our sisters, our spiritual fathers, our spiritual mothers in Christ. Romans 12:5 in God's Word translation says, Christ makes us one body and individuals who are connected to each other. I like that translation, who are connected to each other. And I don't think it's possible to be a whole Christian, how God has intended our lives to be, without the fellowship with other believers. Even those who are isolated, imprisoned for their faith in Christ, they're still missing that fellowship. God gives them the grace, but we need that fellowship with brothers and sisters. And so here this passage in Hebrews, it warns us, exhorts us, commands us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, which indicates there are quite a few Christians who don't do this. They are forsaking the assembling together. We all, I'm sure, know other Christians who have stopped going to church, who, you know, they're through with the church, but they have this relationship with God and they're on their own. And it doesn't go that well for them. And they really miss out on a lot. So, on that word forsake, it means to leave behind, it means to desert, and it means to abandon. Very strong. Don't abandon connecting with one another. Don't do that. So why would we do that? Why do we do that? Sometimes you do that. Sometimes I do that. Why would we do that? When we know how good it is for us, why would we do that? Well, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about some of those pitfalls that can cause us or trip us up, or that we're even, you know, prone to neglect, abandon fellowship with God's people. Now, this is just a small handful. You may have a lot of other reasons which you can talk about in your small groups. That's what's the great thing about the small groups are, is that you can really you can talk about what I didn't talk about because I forgot, and you can talk about something that maybe I just said one thing, and then you can expand on it and share your heart out in your groups. It's great. So one reason which is kind of a weird one, but I've seen it. And that is when Christians, you, maybe, me, maybe, when we are doing really, really well, our lives are just, they're great. There's no financial pressures, there's no housing problems, there's no car problems, the job is going well, the family, everybody's getting along, everything's just hunky-dory, everything is just great. And I've seen so many over the years forsake fellowship with their brothers and sisters because they don't need it. They just don't, everything is fine. I don't know you people, why would I fellowship with you? I've got this little group of my family, these select people that I've chosen. You know, everything's great. I'm doing fine. And that's a pitfall. That's something that we need to watch out for when we are doing well. Perhaps that's why some of us don't do well most of the time, because that's what we would fall into if we did. You know, that Jesus spoke about the churches in Revelation, you know, I'm rich, I have need of nothing. I don't need fellowship. I'm perfectly fine. I'm doing great by myself. Once in a while, I'll wave to one of God's people, but I'm doing great. The next one is completely opposite, and that is when we are in very hard, very severe trials. Some of us fall into the pitfall of withdrawing. We isolate. That's our immediate reaction, or something that, you know, some kind of something that's said or whatever, and we gravitate toward that and we just get into a pit. Pitfalls are pits, deep pits. Even the person that's doing fine is in a pit. They just don't know it. So when you're in that hard trial, sometimes it's just like, well, I don't feel like going. I don't want to go around God's people. When we're not happy, we don't want to be around happy people because it makes us feel even worse, because they're doing great and we're not doing great. So then we feel inferior. Or perhaps we don't want other people to know how hard our life is and the trials that we're in, because maybe they'll think less of us. Maybe if I come in and I'm kind of down or sad, they're going to think less of me. They're going to think I'm less spiritual because of that. So I'm going to withdraw. I'm not going to tell anybody. Or maybe we think, boy, if those people knew the dysfunction in my family, the family history, the sin, whatever it might be that is going on, or the habits of this person or that person in my family, then they wouldn't want me to do anything or be around. And so we tend to withdraw and keep to ourselves. Another pitfall, which I think is a biggie, is that lie that's been around from the beginning, and that is, nobody cares. They just don't care. You know, I go to that church, or I go to that Bible study, or I go to that small group, and, you know, they don't like me. In fact, they don't notice me. They don't look at me, and nobody calls me, and nobody invites me, and what's the point? What's the point of fellowship when they don't even know I exist, so I just won't go. I'll forsake getting together because they won't even know anyway. That's one of the biggest lies that we fall for all the time. It's comical almost, that it's just like so obvious, and yet we're blinded and we fall for it, because it's not true. The body of Christ does care your small group, your home fellowship, whatever it might be. They do care. Another pitfall can be with some people. When I am fellowshipping and I'm around God's people, it is too much conviction for me. It's just too much conviction because I'm around spiritual people who are exposing my carnality or my lack of desire for the things of the Lord. So I don't want to be around that because I feel convicted over it. So I withdraw. I forsake the assembling together. And then, of course, there's another one of, well, they're all hypocrites. Everybody's a hypocrite. Well, you know what? Everybody's a hypocrite no matter where you go. And you know what? Sometimes you're a hypocrite too. That's a lame excuse. You know, if you don't, what's your option? If you don't want to go to church or fellowship with God's people because they're hypocrites, what is your option? Now you're going to go not fellowship because you can't have fellowship outside of the world. You're going to go have social whatever. And it's surface and it's shallow and it's empty. You know, God's people are not perfect. And so find a non-hypocrite. They're around here. Look around. They're sitting in this room, non-hypocrites. And then there's the pitfall too. No matter what, I just feel like I'm less spiritual than everybody else. And so I feel bad if they start talking about the Lord and I don't really know what they're talking about. And I don't know and they want to ask me to pray and I don't want to pray. And then they think I'm this and then I feel this. Or I don't know where that Bible verse is. Or, you know, you just kind of beat yourself up all the time. And instead of being around that and being stirred to grow, I'm beating myself up. Or another pitfall is, and this can happen with people, is that, you know, Christians, they just kind of bother me. You know, some of them are weird. And some of them, that's all, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, you know. And that it makes me uncomfortable, that bothers me. Or I don't have anything in common, you know. I came from this kind of a background, and most of the Christians I know come from these backgrounds, and so I don't have anything in common. Our backgrounds are so different, and so I would rather just stay at home in fellowship with my family or a select few. Another pitfall is busyness. They're just too busy. The priority, misdirected priorities. Your priorities are off. They're, or it's a hit and miss. It's like, okay, well, I will fellowship with God's people off season. But when it's on season for whatever I'm doing or I'm a part of, then I don't. Or that kind of a thing. We can get just way too busy. I'm too busy to go here. I'm too busy to go there. I don't have time to serve. I don't have time to fellowship. I'd like to go to this retreat or I'd like to go here, but I'm just too busy or blah, 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 blah. Misdirected priorities. So, you know, there's all kinds. And like I said, in your groups, you can talk about all the ones that I didn't mention. But these are just a few that I have come across in over the years. And so whatever the pitfall may be and whatever your tendency might be to forsake that fellowship, you know, we can start to pull away. We can justify it. We can just say, well, no, it's just, you know, it's just me and Jesus. We're okay. I'll just stay home and watch online. Which all, by the way, the people that are watching online right now, that's not a cut to you at all, unless you did it on purpose. This is really a big pitfall, though, now, because, you know, before, there was nothing, whatever this is called, it's not televised, you know what I mean, it's on the internet thing, and you had no option. If you wanted to go to church, you had to go to church. If you want to hear something, you didn't have tapes. You know, Damien, have you ever noticed he keeps saying tapes? dates himself. Tapes, you know, when we were in India several years ago, and Damien was teaching, it happened to be an Easter Sunday morning, he was teaching in a church. These people, they would walk 10, 15 miles to church one way in the heat for fellowship, for the Word of God and for fellowship, and then walk back. You know, but we've got it all on our wrist, on our phone, and it's just, they're potential pitfalls. They don't have to be, but they can be. It's really dangerous for us to justify it because God commands us to fellowship with one another, to be in His family, to serve, to minister to others, and to be served and to be ministered by them. We really miss out when we don't. Rick Warren said, "Your spiritual life does not amount to anything if it's disconnected from the family of God. If I cut off my finger, it's not only going to stop growing, it's not going to live. It has to be connected to the body. In the same way, we need each other in the body of Christ if we want to grow spiritually and fulfill God's purpose for our lives." And E. Stanley Jones said, "People want to feel they belong. Without that belonging, there is a sense of orphanage, of spiritual loneliness." And it's the truth. We want to feel we belong because God created us for fellowship, not to be alone. We need to be connected. We need to belong to a spiritual family. It is a wonderful thing when you travel and you maybe you're alone or you're just with one other person, your husband or whoever you're traveling with. There's been no other Christians. And then you run into some Christians or you go into a Christian church and there's that immediate connection. Not always, but most of the time, where you just feel at home because you are with God's people. Nobody else gets that in the world. Only Christians get that, and it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. If you Google what are the effects that isolation has on people, there are way too many things to read on that. There's been study after study after study on what happens with people who isolate. And even though, and I'm going to read something that talks about that, but we can also apply it to us spiritually, when we spiritually isolate. Because we can forsake the assembling of God's people and still talk to people and be around people. We're just not around God's people. But it can have the same effect. Social isolation can have direct effects on cardiovascular disease risk factors associated with increased sympathetic nervous system activity, increased inflammation, and decreased sleep, all of which can accelerate brain and cardiovascular aging. Isolation can increase the risk of mental health issues such as depression, dementia, social anxiety, and low self-esteem. Again, God did not put anyone here on earth to live an isolated life. It's not good. It's not healthy, even for introverts who need a lot of alone time. They can't, you take your alone time, but push through that and fellowship with your brothers and your sisters. Remember that Christians are reborn into a family. A church family, and we're created for spiritual fellowship with one another. And so for our own physical and mental health, we need to fellowship. So what do we do about that? Well, all of this might seem very elementary and obvious and whatever, but they're good reminders. We need to go to church consistently and not zip in and zip out. You might be a zipper. And maybe the Lord is speaking to you. Gotcha. No more zipping. And not. It depends on your personality, your temperament, the introverts, the whatever, you know, you're just uncomfortable, or you'd rather be busy doing something, or whatever. I don't know what to do. I just stand there. I don't know what to say. You know, all those things. You know, I'm an introvert. I know all that. It's not easy, but we have to grow and we have to push through that. And we have to intentionally purpose to talk to somebody for fellowship, not to zip in and zip out. So if you have that tendency, well, everything is great, everything is wonderful, I'm going to zip in and zip out because I'm going to go skippity-doo-dah and do whatever, then, you know, enjoy doing well. That's good. But use that time to develop relationships. Fellowship, relationships within the body of Christ. I guarantee you're going to need it one day. You're going to need it. And it's really sad to see people in that place, and I've seen a lot of people in that place. They don't have anybody come visit them in the hospital. They don't have anybody reach out, bring a meal or whatever, because they don't know anybody, because they've isolated. And it's really sad. So if that's you, this is your year to reach out and to fellowship. Just put a sign, fellowship. And then all these women in the room will see the sign and say, okay, I need to go talk with her, okay? And if you have a tendency when you're in trials, you need to reach out anyway and not withdraw. And lean on your brothers and sisters. We're to bear one another's burdens. Let them know you need support. And if you have to spell it out, spell it out. There have been times where I have done that with friends. I'm not doing well. I need prayer. I need a phone call. Or, you know, whatever it might be. Because sometimes people don't, it goes, oh, well, I'll pray for you. Or, you know, let's get pointed here. Don't leave me, I need help right now. Fellowship with me. You know, try it. You would be surprised at the reaction you would get. It would be love, it would be grace, it would be wonderful. Nobody's going to think that you are less spiritual if you have a problem or if your family has problems or if you're struggling and maybe you're not handling it quite the way you want to handle it. They're not going to think you're less spiritual. If they do think you're less spiritual, then just find somebody who's not prideful and self-righteous and move to somebody else. Because if we think somebody else is less spiritual than we are, it's because we have a lot of pride and self-righteousness. You know, so find somebody. There are tons of people out there who would love to minister to you and help you during that time. Never, ever, ever, ever believe the lie that no one cares about you or that you don't matter. That's a gray dot. You remember that lesson, you know, with the sticking those gray dots. Let them slide off. It's just a lie. You do matter. You do care. If you are in a small group, you matter to your small group. You matter to your group leader, you do matter. But if she doesn't know you're having a problem, or if she doesn't know you need the fellowship, she can't read minds. You know, so say, I need fellowship, or whatever it might be. If you're around people and God's people are bringing too much conviction on your life, then choose to grow. Don't condemn yourself. Conviction's good, but don't condemn yourself. Allow that, as it said in verse 24, as we stir up one another to love and good works, and that we should be exhorting one another daily as we see the day of the Lord approaching, that you would take their conversation and take that as okay, I'm going to step up here. I need to learn. I need to grow. I need to be stretched. We need to be around people who are more spiritual than we are, who are farther along in their walks, and that, yeah, they're going to convict us because they're going to talk about, share about things going on in their life and how they handle it, and we're like, oh, I wouldn't handle it that way. That, I would have screamed. I would have hit someone, or, you know, whatever it might be. Well, you know, it's good that you heard that so that you, then you can go, okay, I want to be like that. I need to grow. How? And then ask the question, how did you handle it that way? Did you struggle at all? Yeah, you better believe I struggled, but this is what I did. You know, that's fellowship. That's a really good fellowship. So don't beat yourself up. Don't condemn yourself. Just grow in that. Ask the Lord to help you to see all of God's people through his eyes. And so that when there is that little sandpaper, that little bothering, whatever it might be within the body of Christ, the odd person or whatever it might be, that you would then see them through God's eyes and have the love and the grace and the compassion that that he has for them. You know, where else in this world has such diversity that can be unified together? It's just the body of Christ. It's the family of God. All the different backgrounds, the different levels of education, the different ways we were raised or not raised, or, you know, the struggles and all of that, and we can come together as brothers and sisters in Christ. The other thing we can do is to serve. Wonderful fellowship happens when we serve. A lot of my relationships, my closest relationships, have become because I've served together from day one getting saved until now. You know, you're serving together. You're fellowshipping as you serve. We learn things about each other in very unexpected ways because it could just be something they said, or it could be something you've had to deal with because something went wrong and you had to fix it. And you watched how they handled that. And, you know, it's just good iron sharpening iron stuff. And we get to witness the gifts and the talents that God has given other people when we serve and fellowship, and we learn from them. Get into a small group. And then when you're in a small group, open up. Open up and connect. Sometimes there's some of us, if you're very introverted, you can sit in a small group and never share, never say anything. You know, sometimes you can know somebody for 5, 10, 15 years. It's like, I don't know them. They have never opened up. And then they might feel like, well, you know, no, I can't, I'm not connecting. Nobody's, you know. Oh, and I'm not saying spill your guts, you know that. But share your heart. You know, a lot of times, and I'll just say this for me, you don't want to share, it's pride that keeps us from not wanting to share. No, we're not going to tell everybody everything. But to just those times in a group or in a conversation and you're fellowshipping and something gets brought up, to go ahead and open up and not let pride stop me. Because that's where the fellowship comes in and the ministry to one another comes in. Damien said on Sunday morning, this is not his exact words, but this is kind of what I wrote down, what I remember, is don't receive more fellowship from others than you give yourself. You know, you give out to them. Reach out. Be the initiator. Invite a few women over or to meet you for coffee. Not the same ones you always do. I mean, some of you are very good at that. You're always meeting with different women, and you know so many different women, and I love that. But then other people, it's just the same ones because that's our comfort zone. And that's wonderful and great. You can do that, but reach out beyond and get a broader cross-section of fellowship with other sisters. To me, real fellowship happens when we share what God is doing in our lives, when we open up and we talk to one another about spiritual things. We share how we're handling our trials, our struggles, how we gained victory, how we blew it, what we learned from that. That's real fellowship. We can be around God's people at church or even in a small group, but until we connect, that real, deep, meaningful fellowship doesn't happen. We can come and we had great fellowship because we said hi and we hugged this person and all that, and we need that. We need that, but we need to go deeper. We all need it because God has made his body to work, you know, to minister to each other. And so when we open up and when we care enough to stop and listen to who's talking with us, and that they, you may not have time, but they just started opening up, and if we rush off, it's going to shut fellowship down. Just to care enough to listen to what they're saying. If we just, you know, zip in and zip out or don't just really connect that way, we are missing out. We're missing out on that deep fellowship, and we are not being the blessing to them that we're supposed to be. Now, for me, you know, I don't think I'm a big talker, but I like some chit-chat. You know what women talk about. You don't have a problem talking. You know, women, you could meet somebody on a bus and you can tell them that you had a hysterectomy. I mean, it's just like, this is what women do. It's just weird, but we do that. You know what hormones they're taking or this or that or whatever. And so I don't mind that. I mean, I enjoy chit-chatting, talking about health issues or this or that or whatever, and recipes or, you know, whatever is of interest to other people or to me. And but if it goes on too long, it's like, okay, we got to go deeper here. We got to go deeper because it's fine, but give me your heart. I want to hear your heart. I want to share my heart with you too. So the most meaningful fellowship for me, and this is just me, so it may not be you, is when I connect on a deep spiritual level with another person. When someone opens up with me and shares their struggles and their concerns or weaknesses or failures or whatever it might be, their victories, it's like, wow, they open up to me. That blesses me. That just encouraged me because I'm hearing what they're going through and I'm seeing them remain faithful to the Lord. That blows me away. It encourages me. It builds me up. That is really good fellowship. Or when I get to share that because somebody asked me a question and I got to open up because I knew they really wanted to know, and because they love me and they care about me and that they're listening. It's like I not only get to be blessed because they've asked and they get to listen, but I got to kind of let off some of this that's been building up, because sometimes we just need to talk it through. I also love it when I'm listening to people, because that's when the Spirit, he speaks to me through them and he shows me. As I listen to them and I learn from them, I gain perspective by what they're sharing from me, to me. I learn about them and I understand them better, and I learn then how I can encourage them or I can pray for them. And then, again, when I get to share my heart and fellowship in that way, I'm blessed and I become stronger and better because of that. And I love those relationships where they just immediately are that. I have a friend who I talk to maybe twice a year, but as soon as we, because we're, you know, far apart, but as soon as we do, it is, well, what you been doing? It's not that. It's right in, and it's, you're right there, and I love it. And I walk away, yes, I'm built up, she's built up, it's great. So that's the kind of fellowship that helps me grow. It satisfies that need I think we all have to be loved, to be listened to be understood, to be cared for. And I love that. I crave that. Since the day the Lord saved me, I've been around his people, 4 Bible studies a week, you know, prayer groups, small groups, worship groups, get-togethers, recreation, everything. I've just loved being around God's people. I love it. I need it. And last year, I know most of you know, my both parents have dementia, so I'm taking care of them, and it's difficult, and we have good days and we have bad days, and you know, it's getting harder every week. It's getting harder. And I was talking to somebody else, and we were talking about that, you know, we're that sandwich generation. You know, we have our parents, and I have my 2 granddaughters, so it's like I am trying to take care of them, trying to take care of them, trying to take care of them, trying to take care of them. And so this last year, I have had the least amount of fellowship I have had in 38 years. That was not, it's still not easy because it's still, we're still going into the new year and nothing, you know, nothing's getting better. But that was, I mean, it's been really hard, but it's been good because it's made me appreciate the body of Christ more. The fellowship, when I do get it, when I do get to connect with a friend, is like a treasure that, or when I get to have a conversation here on Sunday and that it's meaningful. You know, it makes, when you don't have it, it makes you more appreciative. At least it did with me. Years ago, as I was reading through Exodus, and I got into Exodus 18, where you know, the children of Israel all out, you know, God delivered them, and Moses is overseeing these 2 million people and all that. And his father-in-law Jethro came, and there's just a little section in chapter 18 that talks about how they greeted one another. And it said that they both asked about each other's well-being. And I liked that, because that doesn't always happen. You know, it's always just, it's too quick, or one person does all the talking and the other one doesn't, or whatever. But it was like they both asked about each other's well-being, and they listened. And Moses shared all that God had done, how he delivered them, and all, you know, all of these things. And Jethro listened to him, because as he listened to him, it tells us that Jethro rejoiced with him, rejoiced at the great things that God had done. And then Jethro took it a step further, and he praised God for all the things that Moses had just shared with him. And then it said they offered a sacrifice together. They worshiped the Lord together. And I just thought, you know, that's fellowship. That's great fellowship. When we get together, and it can happen in 5 minutes, and it can happen in 3 hours, over 3 hours, where you each ask how you're doing, and then listen and rejoice with that person, or cry with that person, and pray with that person, and encourage that person. Praise God together. Get on your knees together, and worship him, and pray together. That's Christian fellowship. That's the body of Christ, brothers and sisters, connected together. And just in closing, I asked a few women, what are the blessings to you of fellowship? What do you get from fellowship? What does the Lord do in your life or speak to you? So I'm just going to read some of those. You'll have an opportunity in your discussion group to share yours. One said, if it forces me to go and be around people that I wouldn't normally do, and it's good for me. It gives me extra opportunities to understand what kinds of things others are going through, and it helps me to know how to pray for them better. It encourages me as I learn how others are growing, and I get to see the good things the Lord is doing in their lives and hear the answers to their prayers. It helps me get my eyes off myself and my own trials. It helps me have a deeper relationship with others that I would not have through casual or occasional conversation. It gives me the opportunity to be an encouragement to others. It challenges me and encourages me and strengthens me. It reminds me that I'm not alone. It spurs me on and keeps me grounded. I receive encouragement, strength, and wisdom that is supernatural. And amen to that. It is supernatural. My joys are multiplied and my sorrows are decreased among other believers. I learn about having a personal relationship with Jesus as I fellowship with others. I learn about his great love for a lost world. I am encouraged, ministered to, and inspired by those I fellowship with. I feel loved by the Lord through it, and I want to do the same for others. Fellowship lifts my spirit. It gives me fresh glimpses of my Lord that I would not see otherwise as I see Jesus in them. I experience God's creativity and uniqueness, and I enjoy a common ground and unity that he gives. I am taught, challenged, encouraged, and comforted through fellowship. And only in God's family, among our brothers and sisters, do we receive these kind of blessings. Can't do it out in the world. It doesn't happen. These are spiritual blessings of fellowship that help us grow and become more like Jesus. So that's what we miss out on when we fall into that pit, for whatever reason we would, of neglecting, abandoning, forsaking the assembling together of the saints. So again, as we begin this new year, let's be intentional on this. Maybe you're really good at this, and this year you're going to be better. Or maybe you really are not good at this, and this year you're going to make three giant steps to be intentional to fellowship with believers. So let's be open and sensitive to God's leading to bring more opportunities of fellowship. I pray for that for my own life last year, and I'm praying for it for this year. Fellowship with the believers. Let's be more transparent with one another. Let's ask more questions of one another. You're not being rude. You're not being nosy. Some people are just waiting to be asked. Ask them a question. How did you get through that? How are you handling your mom's passing away? How are you handling this, your husband's cancer? How are you, or whatever it might be. And find out how they're doing, what the Lord is teaching them. Let's be better listeners and bear one another's burdens. And let's be more active in ministry, meaning ministering to one another and fellowshipping with one another. Let's have more spiritual conversation. Let's eat and drink and breathe and live more of Jesus with one another. Father, I know that that is your heart's desire, and make it ours. And Father, each one of us is in such a different place, and only you know what place that is. And some of us run to fellowship. We desperately need it, and we appreciate it. And sometimes we can take it for granted and put it on the back burner or whatever it might be. Lord, wherever we are, would you speak to us? Just stir our hearts so that we can obey these verses, live out these verses, and that we can grow this year. I pray that you would help us to open up to one another, and I also pray, Father, that you would use us in each other's lives. And as these women leave, maybe they can have a conversation with someone before they leave, or when they meet next week in their small group, that you would bless that time and it would be a time of ministry to each other. Give those who need boldness and courage to reach out and invite someone or two or three for coffee or to come over or whatever it might be, Lord, whatever you would have us to do. Would you lead and guide us, Lord? Thank you for your love. Thank you that you've brought us into your family. Thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And may you be glorified in and through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand as we